whoever finishes the coffee pot, please empty out the gloves. Did you see my note?
Mike. He wrote me a note. That's the nicest guy ever. I couldn't have asked for a better roommate. What up, dude?
Don't what up, dude, me. What up, dude, you?
Did I get coffee this morning? He's just so thoughtful.
Okay, so you got coffee. You know. You literally had to move the note to get the pot out.
Wow, he really wants me to read this note.
What did it How could you not read the note? It's like 8 words.
This guy. Just tell me what it says.
I already wrote it. I wrote the thing. I'm not gonna write it again on the text message. I already wrote it on the note.
He is so intentional with his communication.
I can't. This is. Is that. Am I reading that right? Yes.
I can be as good of a roommate as him one day.
I think that's one of the 7 deadly sins, right? If you don't refill the coffee, there's something wrong with you. Kill the Joe and you make some Mo. Isn't that what they say? Listen, this week, I don't know how you could work it into a conversation, but somehow this week, you ought to say to someone, don't what up, dude, me. Just try it. I don't know when you're going to get the opportunity, but you should try it because it seems fun. Hey, my name's Clay. I'm so glad that you're here today. Thanks for being with us for this brand new series. If you're at Gwinnett or Brownsbridge, any of our churches watching us online today, thanks so much for being with us. I'm so excited about this topic, bad blood. It's everywhere, y'all. Isn't it everywhere? All of us have it. I mean, let's be honest, we've all got some kind of relationship in our life that unfortunately would be characterized by bad blood. Maybe it's that coworker that heats up lasagna in the microwave and smells up the entire office and then eats it in the desk right next to you and smacks their food the whole time. Maybe it's that person. Or maybe it's the family member that you no longer speak with and you're already concocting holiday plans to make sure that you avoid he or she. We've all got bad blood somewhere around our lives. This is just what's true about life, is that bad blood can infect any relationship. This series is not just for those with estranged relationships and these saga type stories, which those are awful. And maybe you have one of those, but this series is also for anyone who has a relationship that it's just hard and it would just be characterized by bad blood. Because what we know to be true about bad blood is it can come in any moment. The healthiest, the greatest, the most normal relationship can turn in a matter of moments. A great marriage, a great friendship, great roommate, great coworker can become a relationship characterized by bad blood in just a moment. And we don't want that to happen for any of us. So what I want to do just to kick this off is I want to tell you maybe for me, honestly, a story that I've gone back and forth about whether or not to share, because it's probably the most vulnerable, transparent story that I could share about bad blood that has been in my life recently. It's a story I'm not proud of, but it's a story that happened, and I hope maybe you could even learn something from it. My family, as far as I can tell, and as much as I've enjoyed them, I feel like we're moderately healthy. Every family's got stuff going on, right? But I've gotten along with everybody in my family. I have an older sister that's just been a great older sister to me pretty much my entire life. I mean, as long as I can remember, she's been a wonderful older sister. She started dating a guy recently, and his name is Lawrence, and he's a terrific guy. Lawrence was born in Jamaica. He's Jamaican-American. He grew up in the Bronx, and because of their relationship being a biracial relationship, it was a conversation. It was a conversation for him, and it was a conversation for our family. And honestly, I was so proud of the way something that shouldn't even be an issue wasn't even an issue. I was proud of the way our family had handled it and talked through it and worked through it. Everyone maturely handled it well. And Lawrence was super gracious with us, and he handled it extremely well. Months into their dating relationship, though, something happened. And it changed a healthy relationship into a relationship that unfortunately was characterized by bad blood. My older sister had our two oldest kids over around Christmas time for a little Christmas fun date night party kind of thing. They went to the Pink Pig, which is a great attraction in the city of Atlanta, and then they were going to get a Christmas movie and watch it at her place. And Lawrence, being the wonderful guy that he is, brought popcorn over. And so he walks in, and our kids rush over to say hey and greet him. They pray for Lawrence regularly in our nightly prayers. They list him along with everybody else that they pray for, which is just wonderful. And he looks at our three-year-old, Jake, and said, "Hey, Jake, I heard you guys got a new hot tub," because we had gotten a new hot tub, and it's awesome. And Jake said, "Oh, yeah, it's awesome," because that's the way he talks. And Lawrence looked back at him and said, "Oh, I can't wait to come see it." And Jake's eyes got real big, and he said, "Oh, we don't let people with dark skin in our hot tub." The next morning when I came to pick up our two kids, I asked my sister, I said, "Hey, how did everything go?" She said, "They did well, except for one thing." She told me about it, and honestly, I mean, my heart sank. I was mortified. I was ashamed. I was embarrassed, and I was angry at our three-year-old son. And the first question I had, unfortunately, was the first question that Lawrence had, which is, where did he hear this? Because he did not hear this from us. We would never teach our kids that, because we don't believe that. We believe all people are created in God's image. I mean, this runs completely against what I believe about humanity, that the character of a person is what makes a person, not the color of their skin. And so we would never teach our kids this, because we don't believe it. And we would never say anything like this around our kids. So I was so mad and frustrated, and again, just embarrassed and ashamed. And it took a relationship that was a good relationship, and it introduced bad blood into the equation. Now, where did our three-year-old get this? I still do not have any clue. I think he just made it up. If you've been around three-year-olds lately, I don't know if you have, but they do make stuff up. I mean, just about a week before this, he had told an aunt of mine. She was walking downstairs in our house, and he looks at her and says, "Hey, we don't let grandmas in our basement." So I don't know why, but he was in this season of life where he was just noticing differences. But nonetheless, I was so frustrated and ashamed and embarrassed. And it took months to get the relationship, to guide the relationship back to a healthy place. And if it was not for the graciousness of Lawrence, I don't know that we would be there. I'll finish the story in just a little bit, but just for now, let's suffice it to say, every relationship has bad blood right around the corner. And how we handle those difficult moments, how we handle those moments of bad blood, those relationships of bad blood, really do influence the health and quality of our lives. We could say it this way, that the quality of our lives is only as strong or is only as good as the quality of our relationships. You know this to be true. Maybe you have a relationship in your life that is characterized by bad blood, and you would say, as unfortunate as it is, the worst part about it is that it has made my life worse. In fact, it's caused pain, it's caused hurt, it's caused anger, and the energy that I have about it has taken away from the quality, has robbed me of the quality of life that I want to have. In the last series that we just had, Andy dropped this bomb and said, hey, you want to know what happiness is? Happiness comes from peace with God, peace with myself, and peace with others. So over the next few weeks, we're just going to talk about that idea, the idea of having peace with others. Because here's what I've found, and this is the big idea of the whole series. This is what I have learned from looking at a few different passages of the Bible, looking at a life of observation of relationships, is this truth, that you can have peace about the relationship even without peace in the relationship. I would imagine you may even realize this is true as well. If you have a relationship that's characterized by bad blood, you can have peace about that relationship even if there's never peace in the relationship, which ultimately will lead to happiness, to greater joy in your own life. I'll tell you, the guy that we're going to look at today that I'm taking this idea from is a guy named the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote over half of the New Testament. He was a prolific writer. He seemed like an extremely passionate guy. He was very well educated. He was trained as an attorney. And Paul says this in Romans 12. This is what he says. He says, live at peace with everyone. Live at peace with everyone. To which maybe you're thinking, easier said than done, Paul. I bet you didn't have a mother-in-law. I bet you didn't have in-laws. I guess you never had a roommate. I guess you never had a coworker that was super annoying. Live at peace with everyone? I mean, that is like the depiction of the greatest pie in the sky, lofty goal. Have you ever had any problems in your life statement, Paul? The hardest thing, I think, to grasp about the weight of these words is understanding who it's coming from. If we could even begin to understand how much bad blood Paul actually had in his life, it would make these words even more powerful. Paul was up to his eyeballs in bad blood. He was a man who in his former life had persecuted Christians. He was a zealot, he said himself, and he was out to get anyone who called themselves a follower of Jesus. He would persecute them, imprison them. He even oversaw the death of Christians. And then, in a moment, his life flipped. And he went from being a hater of the church to a pioneer in the church. And we tell the story, or we even look back on the story historically, and we think, oh, that's super cool, Paul. Way to go. That's awesome. You saw the light, literally. And you turned your life around and changed and stopped hating people and persecuting people, and you started to try to help people. That's remarkable. But what I don't think we can overestimate is how challenging this had to be for him in relationships, right? He was now trying to have relationships with people that he had actually thrown in prison, or family members of people that he had oversaw the killing of. And they're going, oh, and now you want to be cool? This man knew what it was like to attempt to live at peace with everyone. He had bad blood on both sides. He had people that he had persecuted and tormented and caused trouble with, and now he's trying to have a relationship with them. And then he had people on the other side that he used to be friends with, used to be coworkers with, used to be on the same team. And now all of a sudden he was an enemy. And he says, live at peace with everyone because your life will be better for it. You'll enjoy it more. But he throws in a couple of phrases that we've got to understand. The first one is this: if it is possible, live at peace with everyone. Meaning, it might not be possible. Meaning, I've tried to live at peace with them, and it just hasn't happened yet. But I've tried. I just know that if it is possible, you should try to live at peace with everyone. And there's two sides to this, right? There's the side of, I've tried and it hasn't gone well. We don't have peace yet, but if I knew something else to do, I would do it. And then there's the side of, I never thought we would have a relationship, and now here we are in a relationship that's characterized by health and kindness He probably had people that he never thought it would work out and people that he thought it would and it didn't or did on either side. And he said, I'm just telling you, the good news is it may be possible. The bad news is it might never be possible. And the same thing is true for you, right? That relationship that you have that's characterized by bad blood, there may never be peace in the relationship, but still, the pursuit of peace, even without the promise of peace, is not a pointless pursuit. It's not a waste of time to pursue peace even if there's never peace. Now, Paul gives us this phrase that's the kicker, I'm telling you. This is the phrase that is the all, you put all your chips on the table for this phrase right here. Here's what he says. If it is possible, look at these words. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. In other words, I don't know if it's going to be possible. I've seen it where I never thought it would happen and it is happening. I've seen it where I thought it would happen and then it didn't. I can't take back what I did, Paul would say. But I've done everything I know to do to pursue peace with this person. As far as it depends on you, what a powerful phrase. I just want to unpack a few of the words in this phrase. As far as it depends on you. As far as it depends on you. Have you heard the phrase, you do you? You heard this phrase? It's a very popular phrase in our culture, you know? We tell our kids this, they're heading off to school in the morning, hey, remember, you do you. Just means be yourself. It's a colloquial, current term. You tell your buddy who's primping for a big blind date, you're like, hey man, you be you. You put gel in that hair, you just do you. You've got a buddy who's about to walk into her boss's office and ask for a raise, and you're like, I don't know if you'll get it, but you do you. You go tell that boss what's up, you know? You do you. I want to change the meaning of it for just a second, because I think it's that's an indictment on our narcissistic culture, that phrase, isn't it? But I want to talk about why he says, as far as it depends on you, because in a relationship that's characterized by bad blood, where do you spend all the energy? On the other person, right? All your energy is directed at, if you would change, if you would stop, if you would get over yourself, if you would quit being so selfish, if you would repay me, then we could have a relationship. And Paul says, I'm just telling you, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, stop talking about them. You got to say, hey, let's talk about what depends on me. Let's talk about me. What can I do about this? As far as it depends, look at this word. This word has lots of other meanings in our culture because of certain products that I don't want to even talk about because that would get you distracted and thinking about different things. But anyway, as far as it depends on you, let me ask you a question. What depends on you? In the relationship, what depends on you? If this is the situation, if this is what's going on in your relationship, this is everything about the situation, what depends on you? In a series recently, a couple of years ago called Starting Over, Andy spent an amazing amount of energy and wisdom on this idea that you've got to figure out what depends on you. An example of this for me is sometimes, it happened recently, honestly, on a Saturday morning, I was walking down the stairs and it was early. We have four kids. We have 6.5, 4.5, 2.5, and 1.5. And I'm walking downstairs, and one of them had woken me up earlier than I wanted to on a Saturday morning, and I take the last step down the stairs, and I stepped on a Lego. Now, listen, there's pain in life, right? You know, like, just like general, like, oh, wow, that hurt. And then they're stepping on a Lego. I mean, it's like a different level of pain. And so people were starting to stir and scurry, and so I just, have you ever lost it as a parent? You probably haven't. It was one of those moments where I'm thinking, okay, I hope there's no videotape on this. But so I was losing it. I mean, I was yelling. I was throwing stuff out of the way. I was just, yeah, have you ever done this? Where I was just yelling at our kids. I'm like, get in your room. Get back. Come down here and clean this up. What are you doing down here? Get in your room. I mean, it's just, you know, my wife is just over in the corner shaking her head. She's the sane one. I'm a little bit more highly emotionally charged. And she was just going, you know, this is just absurd. You're ridiculous. You're going to regret this later on. And then maybe a couple days later, I hear our kids fighting over something that one of them had knocked over. And it went from normal language to it escalated in just a moment. And I looked at them and I said, how did this happen? You went from like, everything was fine. And then he knocked something over. And now you're yelling at him going, what did you do? Why are you doing this? And they just looked at me and said, well, we're just doing what you did the other morning when you were cleaning up the house. And I'm like, don't you bring that into this conversation. That was so last week. See, what depends on you, if this is the relationship, if this represents the situation, you've got to own your piece of the pie. You got to say, okay, this depends on me. Okay, you know what? You're right. I displayed that behavior and you're now mimicking that behavior. You know what? You're right. I said that and I shouldn't have. You know what? You're right. I did do that. This depends on me. Maybe it's not even that big of a piece of a pie. Maybe it's just a small little piece. But what depends on you? You got to own what it is that depends on you. And then he uses this language. He says, as far as it depends on you, meaning there's a distance to this. There's a length to this. See, maybe you think you've done everything you know to do. Maybe you feel like that you have gone as far as you can go. Let me just ask you a question. Can you go any further? Can you go any further? Y'all don't speak now? Okay, well, can you do something to take a step more? Okay, I understand what happened. You feel like there's no relationship, but maybe you're going to wake up tomorrow. Are you even open to the idea that there might be something else you can do to go a step further? If you're thinking, well, when is enough enough? And when is it ever time? When is it ever irresponsible for me to go any further? You got to come back in the next couple weeks because we're going to talk about the idea of boundaries, of when do you say, you know what? It's not just appropriate for me to stop, but it's responsible for me to say enough is enough. But until then, let me just ask you, can you go any further? Are you willing to take one more step? Because peace is possible for you when you've done all you can do. If I knew to do any more, I would do it. If I wake up tomorrow and there's something else I could do, I would do it because I'm not content to just have a relationship with bad blood. And even if there's never peace in the relationship, I want to be able to have peace about the relationship. And peace is possible when you can look in the mirror, when you can sit in your small group, when you can sit around people that you trust and love and know. And they've said, you know what? I think you're right. I think you've done all you can do. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I want to give you just one step that I think all of us could take. I think it's the most powerful step in regards to being able to say, as far as it depends on me, I've done everything I know to do. Now look, this thought hit me on the golf course recently. If you don't play golf, I can't help you with that. You're gonna have to go somewhere else for that, but get your life together. But I was on the golf course recently because that's where my best ideas hit me. It's where I do my best work. And so I was lining up a putt. You know how this works. If you don't play golf or watch golf or golfing is your napping recreation, then just follow me on this. I think this is easy to understand whether you play it or not. I'm standing on the green. I'm lining up my putt. You know, that's what people do. They stand behind it to see which way is it going to break? What's the grain doing? What's the ground? Which way is the putt going to move? And I had this thought. What do pro golfers do in that moment? Because they don't just stop at looking at the putt from behind the ball. What do? See, the pro golfers, the one that make all this, that make all the money, they walk all the way around to the other side. Have you ever seen them do this? Some of you are like, oh yeah, that's when I changed the channel. That's why golf's so boring. But some of you that love it, you go, oh yeah, that's when the drama rises, right? When they walk all the way around and they look at it from this side. And what are they trying to find? They're not getting ready for some other round. They're looking at the same putt, but they're looking at it from the other side, because when they do, they know I might see something from this side that will change the way I approach it from that side. I might see something over here that I would have never seen over there. How much of it do you see from over there? Usually, you know, 80, 90%, but every now and then you walk to the other side and you see something that changes everything. So let's talk about our bad blood. Let's talk about that relationship that's in your life that you would say is characterized by bad blood. Let's just say that this is me and you. And we've got a good relationship. Things are going well. It's characterized by health and kindness and mutual respect and mutual submission. And we want goodwill for each other. And then all of a sudden, bum, 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 something happens. And there's bad blood. Did you hear what happened? I couldn't believe what they did. And now all of a sudden, this relationship that was healthy is now characterized by dissonance. There's something tragic that's happened in the middle and there's now bad blood. Or maybe you would say, you know what? It doesn't look like that. I would say this person's a frenemy. This person's one of those people I just can't understand, you know? Some days it's good and we're cool, and then the next day we're our worst enemies. I mean, one day we're fine, and then the next day I don't even know what's going on, but there's just drama today. This is the relationship that you would say, I don't even know what to say, it's complicated. That's all I know, is it's complicated. And then, God forbid, there's relationships where it looks like this. You would just say, hey, we don't even talk anymore. We're not even connected. The step that all of us can take that would change, I think, that would change so much is the step of empathy. The long walk to walk around to the other side and say, I'm going to see it from a different perspective. I'm going to feel it in a way that I've never felt it before. Brené Brown is a researcher, professor at University of Houston. She has a TED Talk that's been out for a while. It's one of the most watched TED Talks. She's written on empathy. It's incredible the work that she's done on the power of empathy. Empathy is the central tool in regards to creating healthy relationships. Through another researcher, a nursing scholar named Teresa Wiseman, she lays out these four qualities of empathy. Let me just run through these because I find them to be so helpful. Number one, taking on their perspective as truth. When you walk to the other side and take on their perspective as, hey, this must be true for them, because that's the way we are. This makes sense to me. When we suspend our judgment, you take on their perspective as truth, then you suspend your own judgment. You know what? I know what I feel, and I'm going to not say my feelings aren't valid, not say what they did is okay. I'm just gonna suspend my judgment. I'm gonna take on their perspective as truth, suspend my judgment, and then I'm going to recognize their emotion. I'm gonna recognize what he was feeling, what she's feeling in the relationship. And then, this is the hardest part, I'm gonna communicate that emotion. I'm gonna communicate it. I'm gonna either tell them, or maybe I'm going to tell this to a trusted friend, or maybe I'm going to write it down. But I'm going to take on their perspective as truth, suspend judgment, recognize their emotion, and then actually articulate their emotion. This is very different than sympathy, right? Sympathy is simply acknowledging what the other person feels. Empathy, however, is feeling what the other person feels. And the only way you can do that is when you take the long walk around. I'm just telling you, in any difficult relationship, in any relationship that's characterized by bad blood, empathy can be the key to opening a dialogue that leads to a healthy relationship. Hey, I need to hear your whole story. Hey, I need to understand what you're feeling. Hey, I need to put myself in your shoes. Listen. Taylor's right. Band-aids do not fix bullet holes. But you continuing to approach that bad blood from your own side, it's not gonna help you either. As long as you continue to look at it from your side, you're going to continue to reaffirm what you already know and what you already feel. If you want to find peace in the relationship, and certainly about the relationship, you have to take the long walk around. Because empathy doesn't fix bullet holes either, but it's the first aid for bad blood. Empathy is first aid to whatever bad blood is in your life. There may never be peace in the relationship, but you can have peace about the relationship if you'll choose to take the long walk around. So if this is me and this is you, and we have a relationship that's characterized by bad blood, let me just ask you, have you walked all the way around and said, you know what? I've seen it from this side. Have you done everything that you can do to not just see it, but to feel it from this side? Have you done that? Have you taken the long walk of empathy to go, you know what? I don't want to. I know it's going to make me start feeling sorry for them, and that annoys me because I like being mad. I'd rather spend all my energy being mad than actually let them off the hook. And you kind of intuitively know, yeah, I get it. If I go and listen to their sob story and try to put myself in their shoes and think about the childhood that he had, then I'm going to have to just excuse what they did. No, no, you're not. You don't have to excuse what he did. But it would at least help you make sense out of what he did. And ultimately, it'll help you feel better about your own life because you'll realize, oh, wow, that wasn't personal. You're just a jerk. That wasn't directed at me. You would have done that to anyone you were in a relationship with. Now that I know what you were feeling, I realize now this wasn't about me. This had way more to do with what was going on in your life. And at the very least, it may not heal the relationship, but it might begin to allow you to feel more peace about the relationship. Let me ask you another question. Is it possible for that person to have, for their behavior to have a logical explanation? Is it possible for their behavior to have a logical explanation to which you would go, no? It's stupid what they're doing. It doesn't even make sense. It's irrational. Let me ask you a different question. Is it possible their behavior has a logical explanation to them? And the answer is, well, it probably does. Because we're humans. Humans, we are unique beings. Years ago, when I was in seminary, I remember reading this quote, and I'll never forget it. Listen to this. Human beings are the only creatures who are able to behave irrationally in the name of reason. Dogs don't do this. Other creatures, they don't behave completely irrationally in the name of logic. But we as humans are uniquely gifted to do that. And whoever you have bad blood with, whatever they're doing, it makes total sense to them. And as long as you continue to just see it from this side, it will do you no good other than the bad blood that's there. But if you'll choose to walk around, if you'll choose to make the long walk around and go, you know what? It pains me to do this, but I'm going to try to feel it from your side. Hey, let me tell you what's great about this. You don't even have to tell them you're doing it. You don't have to write them a note. You don't have to call them. You don't have to send them an email and say, hey, just want to let you know, I'm really trying to see this from your side. You don't have to do that. You can do it and never tell them you're doing it. How beautiful is that? But I'm just telling you, if you want to find peace about the relationship, you got to walk around. And then you got to write it down. You got to write it down. I don't mean like in a journal. Maybe you do write it down in a journal. I don't know. I'm just saying, if you force yourself to articulate, to communicate these emotions, maybe you tell a trusted friend, there will be power, there will be more peace that will happen if you just walk around and write it down. The reason why I know is because this is what happened with me and Lawrence. There was a moment where I thought, he's a 3-year-old who says dumb things all the time. But then, as I began to force myself to walk around, I decided, you know what? If I grew up the way he grew up, you know what? If I was in the skin that he's in, which I can't even relate to what it feels like to be a minority, I'm like, you know what? I can understand how he feels the way he feels. And so I wrote it down, and I wrote him a 4-page letter. And because he was so gracious about it, month after month after month, he read the letter. And because I chose to walk around and because he chose to walk around, we now can have a relationship. And because he was gracious towards me and said, you know what, I'm going to suspend my judgment and I'm going to take the long walk of empathy. I could call him and say, hey, do you mind me sharing the story? And he said, you know what, I think that would be great. See, this really is at the very core of who God is. You know that God took a long walk of empathy himself? You know that God crammed all of his divinity into a body and took the long walk to planet Earth because he wanted to feel what you feel. He had communicated in clouds and on tablets and through other men. And he said, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm going to come and I'm going to walk in your shoes. And Jesus is God's most empathetic exclamation. Jesus is God's exclamation point of empathy, of going, I want to know what you feel. He didn't have to, but he did. And then he says to us, see, when I'm asking you to forgive, I'm just saying forgive as I've forgiven you. When I ask you to love, I'm just saying love as I have loved you. When I'm asking you to show mercy, I'm just saying show mercy as a person would who's been shown mercy. And when you make the long walk of empathy, you are mirroring what he did for you. So don't do it for me. And don't do it for anybody else, but do it for yourself and do it for your Father in heaven who did it for you. Would you walk around, take the long walk of empathy, and then would you force yourself to write it down? Because God took the long walk of empathy to not just understand our bad blood, but to fix our bad blood. And he did it through Jesus. And he just tells us, go and do the same. Let's pray. God, this is so much harder to do than it is to talk about. God, for the person that feels like they've got a relationship that's just done, they haven't spoken in years, and they've just written them off, and every now and then when they're quiet, they hear the whispers. God, I pray that maybe today would be a game-changing day that would allow them to see the relationship from a different vantage point, that they would decide, you know what? I haven't gone as far as I can go. I can take one more step. I can take the long walk of empathy. God, I know that no situation is simple enough where this is going to fix it. God, it is only by your grace that any of our relationships make it anyway. And so we just ask you, God, would you please be patient with us? Be gracious to us. God, help us to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, who took the long walk all the way to us, so that we could know you. And when we do, God, I pray that whether there's never peace in it, I pray that we can feel peace about whatever relationship feels like it's damaged or done. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Hey, thanks so much for being here today. Gwinnett Church, Browns Bridge Online. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you back here next week for part two. And hey, everybody here at North Point, remember, we got food trucks outside. So hang around, have some fun, have some conversations with each other. Have a great, great Sunday, and we'll see you back here.